What is up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here, Thursday edition of the show, Canucks game day edition of the show on Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here, holding down the fort solo again for another time this week as Drance continues his vacation. I am broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, footwear and orthotics, working together with you in step 650, 650. 50 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. Busy day on the show as always here. And by the way, on the Dunbar Lumber text line, it was bumping yesterday on the show. So keep that energy going today. Send your comments and thoughts and questions in now. I'll get to them whenever I can over the next couple of hours. Of course, it is a Canucks game day. They host the LA Kings, Pacific Division rival, at 7 o'clock down at Rogers Arena. So we'll tee that one up for you. We'll try to play some Rick Tocchet audio a little bit later in the show as he spoke to the media before this game. Brendan Batchelor will join me at 12:30. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup tonight, as well as the Canucks' performance on their just finished road trip. And Landon Ferraro will join me for another hour in studio at 1 o'clock. Looking forward to that, getting Landon's thoughts on bouncing back after a game like he played in Winnipeg. But also one of the big storylines tonight, which is the potential response we see, if any, from the Canucks towards Tanner Jeannot, because, of course, we all remember what happened last time these two teams matched up. So that's how the show is going to look. Batch at 12:30. Landon Ferraro will join me at 1 in studio for an hour, and lots of time in there to get your texts as well. So send them in, 650-650 to the Dunbar Lumber text line. Before we do any of that, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 16th. The headline is the Canucks back home to face the LA Kings. Looking for a response in a number of different ways. As I just alluded to, this is the first matchup with the Kings since Tanner Jeannot injured Brock Besser with a dirty hit in the last time they played. Besser ended up missing 7 games. Jeannot was suspended for 3 games by the NHL. Now he texted Besser to apologize afterwards, but this is one of those instances where we didn't really see a response in game. The Canucks did win that game, so that always helps. We didn't see a response in game. The league took disciplinary action, but now, as ever, when we're in these situations, even though it was a couple of months ago, one of the questions on everyone's mind is, what will the Canucks do? How will they approach the first game against a team and Tanner Jeannot specifically, a player who injured one of your key players the last time? And not just injured because of a big hit, a big clean hit or anything like that. It was a bad hit. He got suspended 3 games. It was a legitimately really bad, ugly hit from Tanner Jeannot on Brock Besser. So what will the response be? And I've thought a lot about this, right? I tend to roll my eyes at the demands for vigilante frontier justice in these situations, especially after, you know, the league has suspended the player. It's a couple of months in the past. The Canucks desperately need wins, all of those things. But the more I think about it, the more I think that the only thing that really matters, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what the fans think. It doesn't even really matter what the rest of the NHL thinks. The only thing that matters is, what is the standard in the Canucks room? What do they need to do to feel good about themselves as pros, to feel good about themselves as a team? I want to see them do whatever they know and they think will galvanize themselves, right? Whatever will bring them together. Whatever passes the test for the players in the room. Now, maybe that's dropping the gloves of Tanner Jeannot at the first opportunity. Maybe that's grabbing him. Vincent Desharnais looks like he's going to be in the lineup tonight. Maybe that's Desharnais grabbing him, doing what he needs to do, taking care of business, and then you move on. Maybe that's how the room wants to handle it. Maybe it's ignoring the extracurriculars. Maybe it's not worrying about Tanner Jeannot and just focusing on winning the game. Maybe it's just making sure you come out with some extra jump in your step. You come out with a physical edge, that you're not just focused on Jeannot, but you're focused on playing as hard as you can against the entire Kings team. There's a whole spectrum of different ways you can approach this. From being completely laser focused on Janot to ignoring it whatsoever. And I don't really care where they land, as long as it works for them. As long as they're doing what they know their standard is, and what response will, again, galvanize them, will help them find the extra edge in the game. I think the worst thing they can do is to try to respond based on what other people think. Don't go running around chasing after Janot, trying to fight him just because you think it's what's expected of you, or because you're scared of looking soft to the rest of the league, or because you think that's what the fans want to see it. That's how you end up getting completely distracted, getting off your game, and you end up looking ridiculous. That's not going to work. You can't pretend to have that type of energy if you don't actually have it. So I don't really care what they do, as long as they are at peace with the decision, as long as it's the right decision for them. That's how they need to approach the matchup with the LA Kings and Tanner Janot tonight. I don't know. I can't tell you what that is. I can't tell you what the right response for the team is. Look, is there a part of me that would love to see them come out with some fire and brimstone directed at Tanner Janot? Yeah, of course. But it's up to them. And it's a big deal that they do figure out what the right response for themselves is. You know, how many times this year have we seen the Canucks fall flat in games that you think from the outside should have extra emotional stakes? You know, the one that stands out the most to me, but there's a bunch of examples I'll get into, is the Hughes Bowl against the Devils. That's your captain. That's a big game for your captain, your best player. Quinn Hughes facing off with his brothers, family in the crowd, all of that. That's a massive game for your captain, and it was one of your worst performances of the year. Dakota Joshua, your teammate, a warrior for you in the playoffs last year, returning from cancer against the Islanders. Brutal performance on home ice. Playoff rematch with the Oilers. Get blown out in the third period. Completely gets away from you. So we've seen this repeatedly. Big games you might circle on the calendar and think, oh man, I'm really excited for this one. This should have some extra buzz, some extra energy to it. And it's a completely flat performance from the team. Coming off the debacle in Winnipeg, they absolutely can't afford another performance like that. And again, it doesn't mean you have to prove how tough you are against Tanner Janot, but it does mean you can't be flat. You can't stumble. You can't stumble right out of the gate and let this game get away from you and have it be just another example of a performance in a game where there should be emotional stakes and you play with no emotion. Whatever that version of emotion looks like for them, for the Canucks, that works for them, that's going to help them win the game, that's what they need to find. Can they show us tonight that they're capable of elevating the intensity, elevating the effort for their teammate, for each other? Can they show us they're capable of playing for each other? That's one of the big questions I think a lot of people have about this team because of, one, the lack of response to big hits that they've shown, but also because the lack of show up in these big moments, in these big games. They got another opportunity to answer that question, or at least start to answer that question, if they have the right type of performance tonight against the LA Kings. And really, these next two games against LA and Edmonton, they're big for all the reasons I just laid out, especially this one tonight with the Janot factor. They're big from a Canucks perspective because you look at them and you're going up against two division rivals, Pacific division rivals, teams that are having really good seasons. You know, Edmonton's really turning it on right now. LA has outperformed a lot of people's expectations. They look like a team that could be dangerous in the playoffs, or at least to win a round or two, even if you don't buy them as Stanley Cup contenders. But I'm also really curious to see how the Kings and the Oilers approach these next couple of games, because those teams are facing a division rival as well. Edmonton will be facing a team they played in the playoffs last year. LA facing a team that coming into the season was expected to battle with them for, you know, second, third in the division, something like that. And those teams might look at the Canucks right now and see a division rival that's on the ropes, that's down on its luck, that's coming off a really bad loss, that's scrapping for a playoff spot somewhat unexpectedly. And I think really good NHL teams, when they're in this position, right, when they're running in to a division rival that was, you know, had high expectations, looked like it could be a potential playoff foe for you, and you run into that team and they're in trouble, I think those games mean more to the really good teams. They sense opportunity. They sense a chance to twist the knife, to make sure that team, that rival, doesn't get up off the mat. So I'm curious to see if we'll see that type of energy, that type of mentality from LA tonight and from Edmonton on Saturday. Do they think they have a chance to deal, not a fatal blow, we're too early in the season for that kind of talk, not a fatal blow to the Canucks' chances, but at least a body blow. I think that's the type of effort the Canucks should expect from LA tonight. And I think that's the type of effort they should expect from Edmonton on Saturday. And they're going to have to find a way to match that effort, match that intensity, not just because of Tanner Janot, but because of the stakes in the standings and the quality of the teams they're going up against in the next couple of games too. And then you get into the real, you know, the nitty gritty tactical stuff and the matchup in this game. And the Kings are playing some really good hockey this year. They have been excellent, excellent defensively. Darcy Kemper has given them some really excellent goaltending. And when we hear from Rick Tocchet a little later on in the show, you know, he'll talk about the team's struggles to generate offense. And I think he has some interesting things to say about that as well. But, you know, a big emphasis is, well, we got to move our feet more. Got to move our feet, got to get inside. You know, if someone's on you tight, checking you, don't just stand there and let them check you. Get away. Be dynamic somehow. Look for that open space. Go up to the line, come downhill. Do something to evade the check. Don't be passive. It's going to be a lot easier said than done against a very, very stout defensive LA Kings team that, you know, still somehow being led in scoring by Anze Kopitar, who's just an absolute beast at the top of the lineup. But for a team that has really struggled to score, yeah, their defensive game looked like it was rounding into form until giving up six goals against the Winnipeg Jets. For a team that has really struggled to score, this is going to be a tough test tonight against the LA Kings. Those are your headlines. Lots more opportunities to tee up this game with Batch at 12:30, as well as with Landon Ferraro in the final hour of the show from 1 to 2 when he joins me in studio. Broadsheet, I don't have anything today. I was wondering if there might be a bit of an uptick in Miller-Pedersen trade chatter, or even just general chatter around the Canucks. Brock Besser, all of that, Kevin Lankinen. I was wondering if we might see a little bit of a surge in that chatter after the result in Winnipeg. So far, it hasn't happened. Not a lot of new noise added right now. Not a lot of new gasoline thrown on the fire. And it seems like it might be dying down a little bit. Does that mean that it's becoming less likely that they'll trade one of those players? I have no idea. I think a lot is going to depend on the results we see over the next couple of weeks. But there's your update. For the first time in a while, nothing really new to report from the rumor mill around the Vancouver Canucks. Let's go to the lineup notes. Canucks had a full morning skate. Of course, they had the day off yesterday, traveling back from Winnipeg. So full morning skate today for the team, and lots of news and notes to get into. Thatcher Demko will start for the Canucks. No surprise there after Kevin Lankinen got back-to-back starts against Toronto and Winnipeg. We know how the one in Winnipeg went, so no surprise whatsoever. That'll be Thatcher Demko back in the crease for the Canucks. And I'm very curious to see what the usage of the two goalies looks like for the Canucks from this point on in the schedule. You know, they get into a bit of a every other game rhythm here going into February. They do have an extra day off after the Oilers game, but it's, you know, the 16th, 18th, 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, 31st. So no back-to-backs on the horizon. Do they kind of cautiously start to increase Thatcher Demko's workload a little bit? And I'm not talking about, you know, five or six in a row or anything like that, but do you go from a 50-50 split to kind of Demko getting two of three, something like that? Demko getting 60% instead of 50%. Do we start to see that creep up a little bit here? Of course, a large part of that is going to depend on what the two goalies are doing, how they're performing, because again, a big part of this Canucks season and the story right now is they don't have any cushion. In fact, they're on the outside looking in of the playoff picture right now. So Thatcher Demko will start tonight. lineup per batch at morning skate. Patterson skating with DeBrusk and Jonathan Lekker-Mackey on the top line. Phil DiGiuseppe playing with JT Miller and Brock Besser. So Miller and Brock Besser reunited on the second line. Pew Suter with Danton Heinen and Connor Garland. Teddy Bluger centering the fourth line between Nils Höglander and Kiefer Sherwood, which makes Max Sasson your extra forward. On the blue line, Hughes, Hronik stay together as a pair. Forbort Myers, Susie, Desharnais, Guillaume Brisebois, the extra. Juulsen was absent from practice. Talkett said that he tweaked something. He's a game time decision. So I would bet that Vincent Desharnais gets in if Juulsen tweaked something. And you have the Tanner Jeannot factor anyways in this game. You may as well just put Vincent Desharnais in, but we'll see what ultimately happens with Noah Juulsen. So a couple of interesting things there. I should also note, as you probably guessed, since they were all just included in that rundown of the lineup I just gave, Guillaume Brisebois, Jonathan Lekker-Mackey, and Max Sasson all recalled from Abbotsford after being sent down for cap purposes yesterday by the club. A couple of interesting things that jump out. Jonathan Lekker-Mackey, we've seen him get some really good opportunities from Rick Tocchet, right? Power play one against Winnipeg. He's been in the top six, playing with JT Miller in other instances. He's also spent a couple of games in the bottom six in a fourth line role. He moves back up to play with Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk. And I think overall, not that it's been earth-shaking or anything like that from Jonathan Lekker-Mackey, but I do think you've seen flashes of the offensive talent, certainly the speed and the creativity, but also not that he's all of a sudden going to be, you know, a matchup winger for you at his age with this level of pro experience. But I think you've at least seen the flashes and the glimpses that he could develop relatively quickly into a player that the coach trusts in a lot of different situations. And I think that's the biggest reason. Now, yes, are they looking for more offense? Yeah, absolutely. But I think those signs of defensive responsibility that we've seen from Lekker-Mackey probably go a long way to him getting the opportunity with Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusk tonight. And it also is a fascinating question to me then, you know, as I was just talking about Lekker-Mackey's defensive responsibility early on in his career. Does Rick Tocchet think that it's enough to use that line in a matchup role against the Kopitar, Fiala, Adrian Kempe top line for the LA Kings? That's a very dangerous line. Kempe and Fiala are really dynamic, talented offensive players. As I said, Kopitar's leading the Kings in points again. He's still a very dangerous player. That's a tough matchup against good veteran players. Seeing Phil DiGiuseppe back with Miller and Besser, that has more the feel of a line that Tocchet's going to want to throw out there in those matchup minutes. But I still think at this point, Elias Pettersson, your best option to match up with the other team's best players. Does he get that opportunity with Lekker-Mackey skating on his wing? If he does, I think that's a big vote of confidence, one, in Lekker-Mackey, but also in Elias Pettersson, for Rick Tocchet to trust him in those types of matchup minutes with a rookie on his wing. And if he gets that vote of confidence, Elias Pettersson's got to go do something with it. He's got to have a really, really strong performance if he does get those matchup minutes tonight with the team having last change at home against the LA Kings. Just a couple of other things I want to note here from the scrums and the media availabilities at Rogers Arena after morning skate today. So, of course, we all noticed on the road trip, and especially in the last couple of games, JT Miller's ice time way down from where we're used to seeing it. Played under 15 minutes against Winnipeg, under 14, 13, 22. I haven't done the whole deep dive, but in terms of games that he was fully healthy and never got benched in his Vancouver career, that's got to be near the bottom of ice time for JT Miller, 13, 22 against the Maple Leafs. And Tocchet and Miller both asked about that, of course, as you would expect today after the game day skate, and neither one using the injury excuse. Both asked about it. Tocchet said, nope, he's not hurt. JT Miller kind of gave a coy answer about, well, you said, you know, you just answered your own question, basically saying, nope, I'm not hurt. That's why I'm still out there. That's why I'm playing a regular shift. What Miller did have to say on his ice time was, I don't know, probably could play a little better. I don't know. Now, fair enough. Yeah, you probably could play a little better, and I'm sure that would lead to an uptick in ice time. Rick Tocchet basically said, yeah, we started to roll four lines more, and I think that's helped our defensive game. So maybe spreading the minutes around a little bit, getting that buy-in from everyone, lessening the load maybe a little bit on Miller and Rick Tocchet's eyes has helped them improve their defensive game, obviously with the major caveat of what they did against Winnipeg in their last game. But that's going to be a big storyline to watch here tonight against Edmonton and going forward. Do we see an increase in JT Miller's minutes? Does he start to play better and force Rick Tocchet's hands? The power play is the number one question for me. That's the one that's hard to square. Because, yeah, they can both say, oh, he's not injured. Everyone's dealing with something. Everyone's banged up in some way. So I'm sure there's something going on there. Right? It's been the Canucks MO, with the exception of Elias Pettersson talking about his tendonitis. It's been the Canucks MO to be very, very tight-lipped about injuries. Think back to Phil Pronick after last year's playoffs. But it wasn't just him. It was Ian Cole. It was JT Miller. Go down the list. Almost to a man, with the exception of Elias Pettersson, they didn't want to admit that they were playing injured. So to me, this just kind of continues the Canucks MO on that front. JT Miller was never going to come out and say, like, yeah, I've got a dislocated shoulder. That wasn't going to happen. So it doesn't mean there's no injury or physical factor going on with JT Miller, but it does mean that the team thinks he's capable of going out there and performing. If they didn't, he wouldn't be in the lineup. It's always tricky when you factor in, okay, how much is injury limiting this guy's performance? But we can only go with the information we have, what we can see, what we're being told. And if the player and the coach aren't using it as an excuse, I don't know that we should either. So JT Miller, how his legs are working, the ice time he's getting, the role he's asked to play. Does he get his spot on power play one back there? Everything going into his deployment and his usage is going to be something to watch tonight against the LA Kings. Does he get the matchup minutes against Anze Kopitar? And finally, as noted, Hughes and Hronek, no surprise here, staying together as a pairing. For all of the chatter and all of the curiosity about potentially splitting them up, moving Hronek farther down the lineup, or at least to the second pair to try to run his own pair, we haven't seen a lot of evidence that's going to be in the cards here. And to be honest, I mean, Philip Hronek, I thought, was the least of the Canucks' concerns against Winnipeg. I'm not going to say, oh, he was great. They lost 6-1, but I didn't see a lot of signs of rust from Philip Hronek. So he might be ready to play a pretty significant minute load right away here, given how hard he worked to get back and the effort he's been putting in. I thought he looked pretty good in that first performance back from Philip Hronek against the Winnipeg Jets. Quick standings and playoff update here. No change, really, in the Canucks playoff odds or their spot in the standings. There were no relevant games last night. Really, the teams you're watching right now, obviously Calgary, who holds the final wildcard spot in the Western Conference, they were idle. And then you get Utah and St. Louis in there as well. All of those teams idle. So the Canucks remain just a point behind Calgary for the final playoff spot in the Western Conference. And per Dom's model, still at a 78% chance to make the playoffs. Again, the model remains decently high on the Canucks based on last year's performance. They're not ready to sell their Canucks. The model isn't ready to sell its Canucks stock just yet, even if some people here in the market have started to. Betting odds for tonight, basically a straight pick 'em when I checked a couple of hours ago. Both teams minus 110 to win tonight. So Kings, not a favorite, but not an underdog on the road either. And I think that just speaks to the recent quality of play differential between the two teams. The Kings have been playing a lot better. So yeah, they're on the road, but what have the Canucks shown recently to suggest that they're on par or even better with the Kings and deserve to be favored? I think pick 'em makes a lot of sense here with the Canucks at home, and the over on 5.5 is at plus 115. So the odds makers again expecting a low event, low scoring game, and that makes a lot of sense. The Canucks struggle to score. They can be pretty good defensively, and the Kings are one of the best defensive teams in the NHL. That is the whiteboard for today. We'll take a break. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Send your questions in. Brendan Batchelor, voice of the Canucks here on Sportsnet 650. He's on the call tonight with Randy. He joins me next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.